You may recall a message not too long ago that I gave. I think it's the second message back when I was up here. In Matthew 25, where Christ talked about judgment and his return. And then we talked about how we're being judged at this time. You know, he mentioned there in Matthew 25, there are those he described as the sheep who follow him in service and will inherit eternal life. The others, he tells, the goats will go away into everlasting punishment. That does not mean going into hellfire and burning forever and ever. No, what that means is they will no longer exist. They will have died the second death where there is no resurrection. But do we know that there is something else we're being judged on at this very same time? You know that he was talking about service, having love one to another. But do you know and realize there's something else that we are being judged on daily? Let us notice what Jesus Christ stated over in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 through 37. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 through 37, where we read, "But I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." Every idle word. Verse 37, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you be condemned." So Matthew 25 was talking about our service and love to one another. Here is talking about our words. Every word that we speak, the Father and Jesus Christ here. And we're being judged, as Christ says here. The word Greek for idle is A-R-G-O-N, which means idle, thoughtless, or unproductive. So our words, we're being judged on. So, of course, my title for today is Beware of Idle Words. Beware of idle words. As we read, Christ is in the process of judging us as he hears the words that we give and speak. Let us back up here to verse 34 through verse 35 and read there. He's actually talking to the Pharisees, as we see here in verse 24. That's who he's talking to. And this is what he says to them, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures, brings forth evil things." So our words come from our heart. What is in our heart as we speak? It reveals how we look at mankind, at our neighbors. Now, who is our neighbor? Who is the fellow individual we meet on the street, in the store, our co-workers? Let's notice what Christ told a lawyer. Over in Matthew chapter 22 now, beginning in verse 35. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35. This was after he had quieted the Pharisees and silenced them, as it says in verse 34, and then beginning in verse 35. "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. See, Christ didn't just answer this lawyer's question, what is the greatest commandment? He goes on to expound and say, there's a second one, just as important. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we see then, my neighbor, other fellow human beings on this earth are our neighbors. And Christ said, you shall love them as yourself. And loving others can be challenging, very challenging in our life. But let us know the power of those words. Remember, beware of idle words. Turn with me now over to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death, the power of our tongue, the words that we speak to others is there. You know, this is a powerful statement that is being said here in Proverbs. The aspects of that statement are our words can be so discouraging that we may take away the hope and desire for someone to live. They may give up and die physically or spiritually if we aren't there guarding our words. What do I need to say to my neighbor? Because if they die physically and spiritually, then we, by our words, have participated in their death, which is the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. So strong words from Jesus Christ when he talks about every word that we speak. Now the flip side of this should be that our words should be helpful and build someone up to press on, that they want to live, give them life to seek to go forwards so that they can use the words. So we should daily be giving words that can help others, inspire them. And we need to think about what we're about to say. Notice Paul over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, where Paul writes about our words. Once again, an apostle who heard Jesus Christ says this to us. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to those who are listening to hear. Our words, Paul is saying. In other words, no gossiping, eh? If our talk is only to be wholesome, considering our neighbor as a fellow human being, we can dwell on God's word regarding those who also hold government offices. I was trying to find scriptures, which I didn't find. Did Christ or the apostles ever name a government individual on how corrupt that individual was? Is it ever mentioned? Did they ever talk about those in authority in Rome? that they're evil or whatever. Are we following Christ's example in our speech when we are thinking of the government officials? Are we? Do we put them in the proper light? Excuse me. Are words wholesome that we use in social media? Always positive that's out there in the social media? Are words that we're putting out there? Remember, every word Christ is listening to in the Father. See what kind of words we are using in our life. What is coming out of our heart? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Matthew 5 and verse 44. Once again, Christ tells us how we are to even love our enemies with our words and actions. Matthew 5 and verse 44. But I say to you, that's Christ talking to us, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's our commandment from our Lord and Savior, how we look at others, government officials or whatever. You know, we have examples in the Bible there of praying for how events could turn out. Remember the book of Esther, how Mordecai said, we will pray and fast so that you can approach the king. So are we praying that we can freely send out the gospel message? That we can have peace in our own individual lives with those around us, our peers, our mates? Do we dwell on God's word? Have we reached the stature of perfection of what Christ and the apostles were? Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1 through 4. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. In our heart, do we have a heart like that to forgive individuals that may have hurt us, injured us? Can we forgive? Christ said, these are his commandments we're reading here, brethren, on forgiving and loving and guarding the words that come out of our mouth. Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. Paul writes, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, he doesn't mean literally going out there and getting a cement block and pulling it in front of your brother. He's talking about our words. Do we give them, our brothers, sisters, encouragement in their ways? Titus, once again, Paul this time writing to Titus. This is Titus chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3. Regarding those who have authority over us. Titus 3, verse 1 through 3. Down Titus to remind the brethren. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. That's quite a statement as well, is it not? Back again, praying for all those in authority, obeying them, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For, why? Verse 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. In other words, self-centered. We all were. We were disobedient. We were deceived. Some of those rulers out there in the world, yes, they are deceived, but so are we. And they have their own lusts and pleasures, yes. But what did Paul say? We're supposed to speak evil of no one. You know, we don't have to get out there on social media and rant and rave about what's happening. Pray for them, for all men, as we have read. So this is letting our light shine. So, once again, the second commandment is at play here. Love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter has something as well to mention regarding our words. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10. Regarding our words and long life. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. This is from the Old Testament that he's quoting from here. You want long life? Live good? We must keep our tongue from speaking evil and from deceitful speech. If you would, let's turn with me now over to where this is quoting from, Psalm 34 and verse 11 through 14. Psalm 34, 11 through 13. We're already keeping things right. Come, you children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Okay, you have this question. You want to live long. You want to see good things. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace. And pursue it. So, once again, think before we speak. Or write. But what about Sometimes it seems like you may really get ticked off. That old saying, you're hot under the collar because of what is taking place in front of you and what's taking place. You know, you feel like you want to give this individual a piece of your mind. I don't know how peaceful it is. But let's turn to Psalm 39, verse 1 through 5. Psalm 39, verses 1 through 5. As we read, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. You know, David realized he could sin with his tongue. I will muzzle my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. He was hot about whatever the situation was before David. He was burning up, as he says here. I was musing with fire. Oh, what I want to say to that individual, if I can talk to them. But then what does David say? Continuing on. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end. He went to prayer with God the Father. He says, Lord, make me to know my ends. And what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. So we see here, David went in prayer to God before he spoke, even though he was hot with anger. We need to guide and sometimes say nothing, as we see here from David. There's also a proverb regarding times to say nothing. If you'll turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 20. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Don't be hasty. Know the circumstances in our words. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So we notice there's a number of scriptures regarding our words, how we speak, that are brought out throughout scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1 through 2. Walk proudly when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. You know, when we come together here, we should have proper fellowship, proper talk, as we read here. We should have our words that we're truthful to. Dropping down to verse 4 now. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools, but what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. You know, we make a vow with our words that come out of our mouth. For in a multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity and fear in God. So we are supposed to be person of our words. We are to keep our words. When we make a promise or a vow, keeping it. For example, if someone promises to be at someplace else and meet a friend at, let's say, 2 p.m., do whatever you can to be there at 2 p.m. to meet them. Someone continually showing up late for an engagement they have may in all likelihood have a problem of self-centered thinking, such as, my time is more valuable or more precious. I got to get this thing done before I meet so-and-so. No, we gave our word. We'd be there at 2 p.m. to meet with these individuals. You'll be there. Keeping our word shows respect to our neighbor, loving our neighbors as ourselves, because we promise we will meet you at 2 p.m. We also need to think about so-called words, joking with our words. Ever hear, I was only joking, I didn't mean it. Christ heard it. And the hurt may have been done because the individual thought it was a joke that he or she was telling. But it may have hurt the ears, hurt ears. Remember, as we read, we are accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. You have to be thinking about. Now, we could go to the book of James, but I'll just let you make a note. James chapter 3, that chapter. The whole chapter has to do about our words that we speak. So you can study that in time. James chapter 3. So let's kind of get some guidelines here regarding our tongue when we're speaking. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 through 4. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 through 4. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So this is inserted right here in describing the tongue. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. The word wholesome here, in the Hebrew, marpe, M-A-R-P-E, which can also mean healing or gentle. The word suggests a sense of restoration and comfort to another individual. It's akin to a balm that heals wounds. Our words when we speak to others to help healing. Are our words gentle and healing to all? Are they gentle to the children that we have? Are they encouraging to our children when we speak to our children? You know, it's always so sad when I read accounts of where parents have a favorite child. They have a favorite child, but what about the rest of the children in the family? You know, our father and elder brother have given us their words for us. And what they say is, there is no respecter of persons with them. We do well, we'll be blessed. You can't do evil, and God says, oh, that's acceptable. No. We have to read and study all the encouraging words as we are on our language, how to speak, how to follow through. You know, we all have favorite scriptures that we turn to for encouragement as we go through life. One of mine is over here in John 14, verse 1 through 4. John 14, verse 1 through 4. In one aspect, you might say, well, what does that have to do with our words? Well, let's read it. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, times when we are troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Christ says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. I find this so encouraging. As Christ said, they should be. He's going to prepare a place for each and every one of us so that when he returns, we can be there with him. As he says here, you know the way how we can be there with Christ when he returns. Follow his instructions. Follow his words that we are reading today on how to speak. If you're still unsure about the impact of your words that we speak daily, I want us to look at three accounts of someone's words that have made history. Their words is recorded for us. The first one is over in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13 and verse, we'll begin in verse 30. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Many of us are familiar with these passages. Then Caleb, this was after the 12 spies had returned from the land, looking it out. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report, these 10 spies, of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants, for descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we are ere in their sight. Chapter 41, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. So here we had a good report given by Caleb, what could be done, because he had faith in God, but these other 10 had brought bad news. And continuing on in chapter 14, verse 2 now through 3, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So we see the words of the people here at this time. Very hasty. Better if we died in Egypt. Well, let's continue and read here the rest of this story here, dropping down to verse 17 now through 23. This is Moses saying, and now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquities and transgressions, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of these people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt even until now. So here's Moses. He's having this conversation with God about what has just happened. And God has become very angry. Continuing on here now, verse 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times, this is the 10th time the people testing God, and have not beheld my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their father, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. So God carries out his edict. But notice verse 26 through 29 now. And the Lord then spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long will I put up with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Okay. What did they say? In God's hearing. Now Christ says, okay, those were your words. This is what I'm going to do to you. Verse 29, the carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, and all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years of age and old. People were hasty with their words, as we see here, complaining before God, continually not having faith in him. So he says, okay, that the way you feel, you want to die, like you said, okay, you don't go into the promised land because your own words, you weren't ready to follow me. Okay, that's example number one. Example number two, let's go to Genesis chapter 23. No, Genesis 27. Genesis chapter 27. Another example of every word we speak, we need to think beforehand because we're judged by it. Christ and God the Father are judging us. Genesis 27 and verse 1 through 4. Now it come to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered him, here I am. Then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapon, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. So this is what Isaac said to his firstborn take place. But we know the story there, what happened, that his mother, Jacob's mother, went and put some goat hair on Jacob. Jacob went in, and we see what happens here, continuing in verse 22. Now, after Isaac has blessed Jacob, verse 22, so Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. He said, bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it to him and he ate. And he brought him. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled of the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said. So then we have here the blessings that Isaac bestowed upon Jacob at this time. And then we also know later when Esau come in, verse 34. Let's drop down to verse 34 now. Then Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But Jacob, or Isaac, said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is it not rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times? He took away my birthright, and now, look, he has taken away my blessings." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master and all his brethren. I have given to him his servants with grain and wine. I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you?" Isaac knew he had given this blessing on Jacob. He could not retract it. He knew that he was inspired to give the blessing. So we know how history has taken place, how things have been fulfilled. So our words, let's not be hasty with our words. And another example of positive having the right words, we'll find over here in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13 through 16. Mark 10 and verse 13 through 16. Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought him. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. This is always a moving, wonderful occasion, is it not? When we have the blessing of children. So just as we call upon an elder to bless these children, you want that blessing to be words that are not idle. You want the Father in Christ to hear those words on the blessing of that child, to protect that child, be with them throughout their life. So we look for those words, just as when we go to be anointed, we go to hear the words of an elder to speak over us. We want it taken to heart to the Father, right? When the Father is, when we are before the Father and the elder asks the Father to heal you, we want those words to have impact, right? Not just dismissed. You know, by faith, we firmly believe that our Heavenly Father hears the elder's prayer. We do not want to speak any idle words. In conclusion, then, I'm sure we all desire eternal life. Therefore, let us not be hasty with our words, nor use idle words, as Christ mentioned. For our Father in Jesus Christ hears every word that we speak that comes out of our mouth. You know, in a few moments, we'll be fellowshipping here at the hall. Let us speak wholesome words that uplift and encourage each other, looking for the positive in all things. Let's have a fellowship with one another, brethren, that is pleasing to God the Father and to Jesus Christ.